Blog Talk Radio.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on. Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power
in the name.
We know where it is to break
every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to our show with our hosts, Carolyn and Angela. We are just so excited today. We miss you guys. I know I miss you guys. We are going to talk about cleaning up your own backyard. How amazing. We have been supposed to do this show weeks ago. But it kept getting interrupted. But God knows the appointed time. Hallelujah. So I don't know if my co-host is right on the line with me. welcome her in. That, glory be to God. Lovey? Lovey? Hello? Are we having technical difficulties? I think so.
Oh, I'm here.
Yes.
Hi, love. Hi, love. I was about to say, the devil is a liar.
Well, praise
he is
God.
A liar.
Yep.
And a fat one at that.
I know, that's right. Yes, mm-hmm. We do. We missed everybody, and we're just so glad that you got to join us today. I'm just so excited, and like you said, Levy, we've been trying to get this message out, this topic out for a while, but amen, I definitely agree that God has his own timing for everything, and with so much going on nowadays, he's really calling us to look at ourselves and to clean up our own backyards. Versus us always trying to clean up everybody else's backyard, So
that's how it works.
That's how it works. And now it's time to, it's been real. You know how we say we're gonna keep it real. Yeah, it's been real all the time, but now it's really about to get real because of the hour that we're living in. And so God is on his way back. He's not playing. He's on his way back, and he's exposing people and basically, we're basically exposing ourselves, because when we start cutting up and acting up and acting out of order, acting out of character, we're basically exposing ourselves, and so God is just, he's given us an opportunity to get ourselves together. He's so graceful and he's so merciful to us. And so we have to be mindful not to take his grace and his mercy for granted. So we thank God that the blood still works, and we thank God that he's given us the opportunity to clean up our own junk. A lot of us got a whole lot of junk in the trunk, and we need to get that together, drop off some of that stuff. So I think this is a great time.
I totally agree. You're going to pray us in, and I'm excited to hear what God has given you. I know he's given me take this stick out. Take the plight out of your own eye.
Right.
You're complaining about people about specs, and we walking around with this big old plank in our eyes, and we're quick to judge and see others, but we don't want to see ourselves. So tonight, hopefully, I pray that God's will be done, and that when each of us get off this phone, because you know what? You love me, and when God uses you, I receive too. So and as I'm talking, he ministers to me. So this is the word is a two-edged sword. It cuts
Amen.
The one that is bringing it and the ones that the hearers. So
right.
I'm excited. Let's get it, girl. Let's get it.
Amen. Amen. Father God, we just bless your name, God. We give you glory. Father, we give you honor and we give you praise. You are such an awesome God. We love you so much, Lord. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. We thank you for loving us, Lord God. We thank you that you are so graceful and you are so merciful to us, Lord God. And Father God, we just thank you that tonight, Father God, that as your Holy Spirit ministers to us, Father God, that you just give us the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge, Father God, to minister to your people so that healing can take place in the earth and that we can move on about our business and be about your business, Father, in the name of Jesus, because we know, God, that you are coming back, Father God, and we need to have ourselves together, Father God. And so we ask in the name of Jesus, first of all, Lord God, Holy Spirit, welcome into this, through the airways, welcome into this atmosphere, change the atmosphere, set the atmosphere. We thank you for the worship that went before. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence over the airways. We thank you for every person that's on the line, and I ask in the name of
Amen.
Jesus that our hearts and our minds be open to hear what thus says
Hallelujah.
The Lord. So we thank you, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your awesome word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
So,
God is good.
Yes, God is just definitely good. I just thank him for an opportunity to still continue to talk. I woke up the other day and I had no voice, and it's working its way back. So my husband is like, don't keep pushing it. Don't keep pushing it. That's what he keeps saying. Don't keep pushing it. So
But, you know, I'm just thankful that God, you know, he has really been healing my voice. And so I'm learning, you know, to, you know, when he said rest my voice, to rest my voice, because I use my voice a lot. And so I thank God that, you know, I'm able to share on the line, as, you know, the other days before, and I was, you know, being able to share. So it's such a privilege. But jumping into what God had given me, and that scripture that you were talking about putting in Matthew 7, when you were talking about putting the speck, you know, seeing the speck in your brother's eye when we're not paying attention to our own. That's the scripture that the Lord had gave me. I think you saw it maybe the last time, Lovey, when when the Lord gave me that, and we were sharing about that, talking about that. But that's the same exact scripture. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for that. That's the exact scripture that God was showing to me, you know, and he was telling me how we are so quick to, you know, and first of all, I have to say we, because oftentimes we separate ourselves, you know, when we're talking, you know, and there's a certain time when God would say we, and a certain time when God would say you, and a certain time I, myself, and so we just really need to be mindful of how to use those things and you know, the form that we're using. So tonight, we're going to say we need to get the speck out of, you know, allow God to take the speck out of our own eye. And what he was showing me is that oftentimes Amen. We're looking at other people, and we're talking about how, you know, what they're going through, and, you know, how they would, you know, and I've said it myself, for an example, you know, I used to have a girlfriend who was in an abusive relationship, and I said, you know, you need to just leave him, and, you know, I would never go through anything like that, and I would never let that happen to me until that, you know, I found myself in that situation, you know, yeah, until it happened, you know, and we're so quick to say, you know, you need to leave him, or, you know, and men too, because men go through that, even though we don't want to recognize that, but men go through that too, but I was like, you know, you need to, you know, go on and leave him and blah, 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 and telling her all this and that without even giving her a solution. I was giving her advice, but not giving her a solution. And then when I was telling her, you know, that, you know, you can leave anytime you want to, you're just staying there because you want to be there, you know, and now that I have grown up, you know, and I have actually right. experienced that, you know, I have to look and I have to say, you know, when people go through that, sometimes we don't always know the circumstances. With my circumstances, I felt trapped in that situation because every time I wanted to leave, you know, this particular person would threaten my family, and, you know, and I had my grandmother and my great-grandmother, my mom, I mean, you know, everybody, my family, and it just terrified me, you know, and so I thought, you know, I got myself in this situation, you know what I mean, and so I'm not going to put the lives of the people that I love at stake, you know what I mean? Because if I leave, then, you know, he might see them, or he might go there and, you know, do all kinds of crazy stuff. And so I felt like I was in a bind. I was in a bind. I felt like I was blocked in. I felt like I was in prison. You know what I mean? So now that I, you know, came out of that, God has brought me out of that, you know, I have a compassion for people who go through that. I'm not quick to say you can leave at any time because we don't know their circumstances. We don't know their situation. If we're up to, you know, telling people, go ahead and leave and do this and do that, you know, that can bring danger to them, you know, instead of saying, you know, give them some kind of resources as to where they can get help, you know, go to safe homes and different things like that. And so we're so quick to give advice because we're looking, you know, at their situation from the outside. We're judging them. You know, we're calling them crazy and stupid and all of that kind of stuff when we really don't know the whole story. You know, and so, you know, it's really, you know, really, and God showed me another thing today when I was reading, I was in Matthew when Jesus was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and he was talking to the disciples and how he was saying, you know, how we don't tell everybody our business when we give to others. And, you know, the Lord brought to my attention, you know how sometimes the homeless people are standing out on the corner or walking down the street and they're holding up those signs and they're asking for food and or they're asking right. for money. And so, and what God had said to me is that, you know, sometimes, and what we've done that, we said, well, I'm not going to give that person that money because they might go buy some wine. You know, we used to say that when we were younger, you know. We know no better.
That's true.
I'm not giving him my money for him to go buy him some Mad Dog 2020. I would say that in a minute. But, you know, it's like God showed me, you know, really, hey, it's not up to us, you know, to decide what that person is going to do with that money. If he said, give them $5 or give them $10 or whatever, if he said, give them that money, then we are to be obedient and give it to them. If he said, go ahead and, you know, go in there and buy them food, then go and buy them food. Either way, you know, we need to be obedient and not just, we don't know, you know, why people end up in those situations. I know a lot of people in the military, and in armed forces, you know, who have really, you know, they served, but then they served their country. But for some reason or another, you know, they hit a really, really rough spot, and they find themselves in dire need right now. You know what I mean? And so we look at them and we say, well, you know, you served in the army, you did this, you did that, but we don't know what took toll on their minds. We don't know what took toll in their families. You know what I mean? And so we automatically begin to judge them. All that money you made in army, what happens to this and what happens to that? You spent it all on the cars and you spent it at the club. That, you know, we are way out of order. Instead of ministering to the people, we're so busy judging them instead of looking at ourselves. You know, our issue may not be the same as their issue, but we still have issues. And that's what we all have issues. Exactly. And so that's what, you know, God was showing me, is that we're so busy looking at other people's issues, we can't even get past our own, because we're looking at their issues as to put them on blast. We're looking at their issues as to, you know, make fun of them and, you know, and kill them in spirit. We're looking at their issues the wrong way instead of ministering to them, instead of encouraging them, instead of loving on them. You know what I mean? And we make ourselves look so high and mighty, like we really got it going on, like we have a full bed of roses in our backyard when they're all dying. You know what I mean? And that's what God was showing me. We need to get it together, because he needs his saints to stand up and take a stand. And I like that song where you said that God is calling forth. There's an army rising up. There is an army rising up. It really is. And God is steady raising up men and women of God who can really, really love on each other without always pointing out what's wrong with them. You know, in the Bible, it tells us, you know, how we're supposed to correct. And that's true. We're supposed to correct in love. We're supposed to teach, you know. And so in order for us to do that, we have to stop looking at what everybody else is doing, you know, instead of what is it that we're not doing? Because God has told us to do a lot of things that we haven't even done yet, you know. And so
Bobby, can I interject 1 second, and I'm going to let you continue. I love the thing that you said, that we are supposed to correct in a certain way. And the biblical standard for correction is in Matthew 18. And it states that when you have an issue, if you have an issue, Lovey, if I have an issue with you, the lady down the street shouldn't know, Tom and Derek shouldn't know, the Bible stated that I go between me and thee, and we talk to each other, and we try to reconcile. And then if my brother does or my sister does not hear me, the Bible didn't say to put the person on blast, because sometimes we hurt others. I told one of my bosses that one time. We hurt others trying to correct one. So if you then you take two or three witnesses, and if they do not comply, then you take them before the church. There's biblical standards. When you find that your brother is overtaken in the fall, or they hurt you, or they did something out of the norm, you don't just blast them, but you do it biblically. And if you can't do it biblically, close your mouth and say, what a lot. Now you can continue, love. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. You know, we're used to each other, so we already know what's going on. When the Holy Ghost starts going, we just start going in. So I know what you mean. But, yeah, you know, really, so many times God has said, you know, in this hour, God is wanting us to, you know, stop beating each other down. And the thing of it is, the people on the outside, the people in the world, they are looking at us, and we seem to have forgotten that because we're so busy fighting each other. We're so busy, you know, if one of us get a job, you know, we won't even congratulate each other. If one of us get a house, we won't even congratulate each other. If we get a car, we won't congratulate each other. If we get a promotion, we won't even congratulate each other. You know what I mean? And there's sometimes when we do, you know, it's fake.
You know what I mean? And so, you know what is fake and what is not. You know what I mean? And I be, you know, sometimes I'll be like, now, how long did it take you to say congratulations? That's what I'll be doing, you know. But just keeping it real, you know. But I mean, it's so sad when we can't congratulate each other. Brothers and sisters, we call ourselves brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, but when God blesses us, we find it a struggle to congratulate each other. But then, you know, when we get our thing going on, we want hands raised and all kinds of stuff going on. That's so selfish. And God wants us to stop that. He wants us to stop that, because that is not the world. That is not Christ-like. That is not the love. When we say we love each other, you should love me when I'm down, and you should love me when I'm up. You know what I mean? And so sometimes what happens is,
love me when I'm down and love me when I'm right. How about that?
Right. That's right. You know, and so we really need to get that thing together. You know, so instead of us, you know, telling each other, you know, looking at what the person is doing wrong, you know, why not encourage them, support them in a way to get on the right track, you know, to help get on the right track? Because, you know, what we go through, it's only a season, and it's always like, it's always like one of those things where, you know, if one person had did this and I would have did that, and we want to play the blame game, but that's, you know, we can't do that either. God wants us to stop playing the blame game. He wants us to stop judging each other. You know, we can't, some relationships are just torn apart because of pride. You know, one person may have messed up, or both people, or three people may have messed up, but because of pride, we're too busy looking at, well, you said this to me and you said that, or you did this and you did that. And before you know it, there's no solution. That is this constant chaos and confusion, and the whole time that is happening, the enemy is just having a field day in the arena of that, because of the simple fact he's saying that we're going at each other's neck. And so God is saying, stop the judging. None of us are perfect. He is the only perfect one. He says, stop the judging and come together with a spirit of unity. Love each other the way that he loves us. Stop, you know, looking at what somebody did 20 years ago. You know, when we ask God to forgive us of what we've done, he wiped that slate clean. Why is it that we have to hold on to stuff for so long and not let it go? And yes, I know pain does happen, disappointment does happen, but then we can't grow when we constantly hold on to pain and disappointment and begin to judge people, you know, instead of loving on them. You know, when people start moving up in the world, when it's in life, in Christ, and they start getting those promotions and things like that, you know how we do on the job to get a promotion. I should have got that. They don't even do no work. You know what I mean? And we never stop to think that, what about, you know, instead of saying, okay, God may be building something up in me. Maybe that's something in that promotion that I'm not ready for. It may take away the time from my family. It may take away time from, you know, when I'm supposed to be at church, or it may take away, you know, time that I'm supposed to be dealing with, some spending time with him. You know what I mean? And so God looks at all of that, and we start judging people because God has blessed them with that promotion, instead of saying, okay, God, I'm going to wait on you because I know you have better. So all of a sudden we get mad at the person with the promotion, and we start judging them, talking about why they shouldn't have got it and why we shouldn't have got it. If we continue to have that mentality, then it looks like we'll never get that promotion, because our minds are out of whack. We're not in tune with what God's doing. And so we really need to be careful about that. We really need to be careful about that judging thing. And, you know, and one of the things that I know we have to as a whole work on is know the difference between when people is judging and when people is correcting in love. So many times, you know, offense takes place because of the simple fact, you know, when someone comes to us and we said something, it's automatically judging. We know when people are judging us, and we know when we are judging others. We know when people are encouraging us out of love, and we know when we are encouraging others out of love. And we say we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. If that is so true, why is it so difficult for us to get correction and judging mixed up? That's a big thing. I've noticed that a lot. We get it so mixed up. But oh boy, we start shouting about how we so filled with the Holy Ghost and how we so sanctified, and we start speaking in tongues, and we can't even tell when we're judging and when we're correcting, and we can't tell when it's been given to us the same way. So that's what God was giving me for starters, lovey. Go ahead.
Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Pastor Keisha's going to interject soon, but I just wanted to get this in because this is one of her topics and some of the things that you had said, even about giving the homeless money and stuff. She and my other spiritual dog that was with us, they have their own way of doing things. But let's read the scripture that God gave us, because I want to show you something that this is how God feels about people who judge. Matthew 7:1-5. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standards of measures, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Oh, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye. This is what God says in verse 5. You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I find that we are so, it's so easy to judge. It's so easy to criticize. It's so easy to tear down. But it's hard to congratulate. It's hard to promote. It's hard to motivate your sisters and brothers. But it's easy to see things that is wrong with people. We're so quick. And the awesome thing that the Lord gave me and showed me about this to talk about in this show is that he reminded me of the woman that was caught in adultery. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to stone her. And, of course, women probably didn't have all it going on back then. Men had it going on because I don't hear nobody want to stone no man. But they wanted to stone her. And our God is so compassionate. And he's not judgmental like we Christians are, because we could be the most judgmental. I don't care who's mad right now. We could be the most judgmental people there is. And we call it, correction. We call it this. We call it that, as you said. But in this story, Jesus was showing us something. He did not judge the woman, but what he did was start writing on the ground, the mud, the ground, whatever. We don't know what he wrote. But then he said these awesome words. He said, ye without sin, cast that first stone.
Mm-hmm.
And each person started moving away. Mm-hmm. Why, Lily? Because we all have issues.
Mm-hmm.
But we're quick to judge other people's sin when we are a mess within. We are quick to point a finger instead of cleaning up our own backyard. We want to get in other people's trunk and their closet when ours are filthy and need cleaning itself. The greatest thing that we can do for self is called self-examination.
Mm-hmm.
When we try judging ourselves, because when we judge ourselves, God or others won't judge us. Because as you judge yourself, you're going to make changes if you want to be right. But what is amazing that Jesus was telling them, hey, listen, you are accusing her of adultery. But what you doing? What's going on in your backyard? What's up with you? And then each person moved and Jesus looked around and, lovey, there was none. Why was there none again, I'm going to say? Because we got drunk in our trunk and want to stone an adulteress. So we got to be careful how we approach people and deal with people and speak to people. Our words can destroy and tear down others. Our judgmental spirit can put division in the church and separation. We are around children and children are vulnerable and we begin to talk about Tom and we begin to talk about Sue and the children are hearing and our younger Christians in Christ are hearing us just judging each other. What are we creating? We are creating speculation in new Christians, and we are teaching our children it's okay to judge and talk about others. Now, Lovey,
This is the thing that the Lord showed me. Sometimes we judge to ourselves. When I say judge to ourselves, we see people and talk about them in our minds. We might not say it outwardly, but we talk about them inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But the key thing that you said, we don't know that person's struggle. We don't know what that person is going through, and we blessed to remember everybody is not on our level. The Lord has not dealt with everybody the same. Each person is coming from glory to glory, level to level. And when I'm on a level, listen, I can't judge someone on a lower level and say they should do this and they should do that because they have not yet been dealt with that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be careful how we judge our sisters. We got to be careful how we judge our brothers. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of us have been saved longer. Some of us are more open and tuned to the Holy Spirit. So, yes, we might overcome some things quicker than our younger brothers and sisters. Now, we don't expect a two-year-old, come on, to go to work and pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't expect a new convert to be where we at. But we begin to judge people. And yes, and some people have mental issues in the church. And they're like, and their development is not the same. And yes, the Holy Ghost does use people. The Holy Ghost just brings the truth to our forefront and to our minds. But some people do not articulate like we do. We just got to be careful how we deal with each other. And that's why God stipulates that we must love him and love each other. And love does not keep record of wrong. Love do not judge and tear down. But love builds up. And we fail to do that. Sometimes we can't wait to tell somebody off. Sometimes we can't wait to be corrected. And we bring others into the situation without knowing the real deal and what's really going on. We've got to be careful. Especially when we call ourselves leaders. Come on now. We got to lead correctly. And we got to be always judging ourselves, looking at ourselves, going in your closet and cleaning your closet. Come on now. Are you a gossip? Because you don't commit adultery, are you a gossip? Are you a slanderer? Do you think evil of others? God judges by words, thoughts, and deeds. So because you think it, don't mean that you're getting away with it. You might not say it. Huh? But you're not getting away with it. And we got to understand. And we really got to get this. We really got to get this in our, God is not mocked.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. Some people might not be able to deal with this. Because some people might start to hang up. It's all good. But you got to take care of your own heart. And look around and see if you got any issues before you deal with your sister's or brother's backyard. You can't go into somebody's house and say, Lord, this house is a mess. This house is a wreck. And you walk into your whole house, your own house, and everything is upside down and turned upside down in your house. Your dishes need washing. One day, a lady made a comment to me. We're not going to call any names. And she said, oh, she needs to wash and to get some new clothes. I said, won't you buy some soap and some new clothes? If you're going to judge, if you're going to talk about her, put your money where your mouth is.
Right.
Do for your sister. If this is kingdom. If you want your sister to dress appropriate, smell appropriate, you be the one first partaker of handling this. So if you notice, that's having a judgmental spirit. Come on now.
Right.
That's if you're going to do something, do it or say something, make sure you're going to back it up, that you're going to walk in love. It's easy to tear down, lovey. It's easy to point a finger. But we got to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. We are not perfect. And the reason nobody can accuse the adulterer is because they recognize their imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spend that time with the Lord, you know that you got imperfection. And when you are when you notice your own imperfection, it's not going to be so easy for you to judge others. But what happens in this society, in this walk that we walk, I love this kind of life, and I do, is what happened, lovely, is that sometimes we take the focus off ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, one more time. It's so good to find others who got bigger sin than us. Mm-hmm. So what we do is take the focus off ourselves and put it on somebody else. In my ministry, in all these years, sometimes I hear people say, well, at least I ain't doing this. At least I ain't doing that. But what you doing? See,
right.
It's easy. It's very easy. It's very easy to just want the focus to come off of you. So then when you see someone that you think is doing a bigger sin, makes you feel better. So God don't judge based on big sin and little sin.
Right.
Sin is a sin. Right. And God deals with it accordingly. God does not stomach sin. So your sin ain't smaller, your sin ain't bigger. It is sin. I'm going to allow Pastor Keisha to interject a little bit here, and then Lovey, you or I can just come back and speak. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You guys made some very good points. You know, I'm going to be short and sweet because I always go to the point and move on. But you guys made a very good point about that. Basically, I've learned that when we really remember where we have come from and our past and how God has delivered us from depression or oppressionable. Maybe someone's selling drugs in the street. Maybe someone's holding. I don't know what people are doing. But when you forget where God has brought you from, it's so easy for you to look down on other people and point a finger. I have learned that if you remember that you have been forgiven much, you will love much. But if you forget that God has forgiven you from big sins, you are become ungrateful and you begin to love people. You become stingy with your love. You become prideful. You become, stick up your nose at people instead of helping your brother out and remembering that, listen, I was in the same boat as they was. I wasn't born I wasn't born, you know, praise the Lord and, you know, doing the two-step out my mother's womb. No, we was born in this flesh,
you're
and we're all
sin.
Born into sin. It's a fallen world. And we have to remember that it was Jesus who knocked at our door. It was Jesus who pursued us. It was Jesus who said, listen, I'm better for you. Why don't you come and follow me? And when we remember this, we are able to encourage those who are, you know, the crackheads, the drug addicts, those who are homeless, those who in church are and who are sinning, they don't care.
With no conscience, they don't have.
We are able to correct them in love and say, listen, you don't have to continue to sin. You don't have to be bound, or you know you're displeasing the Holy Spirit. You know God. You know better than that. Come on, you need to come up higher. Everything that we do will be motivated out
by
of
love.
Not,
I love that.
Not being judgmental and saying, look at you, you are, you know, you're a Christian and you are no good. You're sweeping up with that man. One thing with me, I used to be a Bible thumper. Now I'm not a Bible thumper. Now listen, now I speak the truth. But God has shown me, Keisha. Now,
Amen.
But listen, you better do it out of love. You don't have to try to convince no one. You don't have to beg no one. He said, listen, I'm God. They're my child. I know how to take care of them. If you want to change your brother and sister's heart and mind, you have to correct them in love,
in love.
Grace, and mercy.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I've been speaking that truth, but I speak that truth out of love. And a lot of times people speak truth. But what's the motivation?
What's the matter of your heart?
What's the matter of your heart?
Right, it's all a matter of the heart, because sometimes we are right.
You could be right, yeah.
We are bringing correct, and we are bringing words. But what is the motive?
There you go.
See, is it through anger?
Mm-hmm.
Are you despitefully trying to get a point to somebody? Mm-hmm. Or are you doing it out of love?
Yeah.
Everything should be love-based.
It should be.
It should be, because you know what? I'm a sinner. You are a sinner.
Yes.
And the only thing that made me a saint is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The only thing that is good in me is the Holy Spirit. And the only thing that ever happened to me, good to me, is Jesus Christ and through the Father. Come on now. So listen, I know that I'm a filthy rag. I came from dust. Listen, I came from dust. So I remember, my daughter, they say, Mom, you don't ever want to. No. You know why? Because if they make a joke, I get mad sometimes. I say, they'll tell you the truth. I get mad. So I ain't talking about nobody. And they be like, it's just a joke. I ain't trying to hear that.
May the Lord correct me and help me. But it's not out of judgment. It's not out of
being funny.
But it's
It's like, going to be funny.
I was like, child, that girl is going to change that. But, you know, and I will tell you, faith is out of love.
Yes. So I've learned that if I want to be treated right, I have to treat others right. And sometimes you don't get that same treatment. But you know what? God will handle it. See, we want to get mad and we want to tell people like a T.I. is out of revenge, I'm going to get them straight. We have a tendency to want to get people straight. I'm going to get her straight. I'm going to get her straight. You better believe it. They will know that this ain't biblical. They will know they ain't here for me today. They better understand that they're out of line and they're out of character. I'm going to tell them. But you can't do dilly squats with anybody. You know why?
Right.
Because you're bitter and you're angry. And a person is not going to receive you in love. Listen to me. It is a matter of your heart and how you approach people. You don't come to destroy. You come to build up. You come to correct in love. There's a difference. And listen, and you can peep the difference. You can tell when a person is coming out of anger. See, because I don't talk a lot don't mean I don't discern a lot. And I'm still going to treat you the same. But I discern things because we have a spirit that's called discernment. And when you discern, you're not going to retaliate and treat the person bad. You're going to still walk in love. You're still going to pray and you're going to ask God to touch and deliver and heal. You're not going to, I'm going to suck it to him. Yeah, he gonna know today. And that's how we are.
That's
how we are. Huh? They gonna learn today. And we gonna get the scripture to get his diet. We gonna get scripture. We gonna get people applauding us and pushing us. They're gonna learn today. And what is your motive?
Right.
Is your motive the right motive? Or are you doing it to be judgmental and critical? There's a way of doing everything. And
it really
everything
is.
I'm going to say, and I'm going to say it one more time, loving you can interject. Everything that we do because of who we are and because God says we are known because of our love walk that we are his disciples, we should be doing things out of love. I don't care. Listen to me, lovey. I love encouraging people. And I know that everybody that I might put something on my Facebook, it ain't going to get what God said because they got issues. But if they can make it another day with my encouragement, come on now. If I can say something that makes them to make it another day, another opportunity to make it right with God, so be it. If I can encourage their heart instead of judging them and say, oh, you know you ain't right. Come on now. I ain't right because of what I'm saying. We all fall short and we all fall down in our filthy thinking. Some of us got some real thinking. We in our house talking about people and maligning people and tearing people down. Our family here. Like, come on now. We want to tell it like T.I.E. is up in half.
That's right. Amen.
And that's not right. That's not right. That's not a good example. That is not an example of a child of God. Come on.
God.
Love you. I know you're anxious to say something because I hear it. Go
ahead. No, at first I had to finish my laugh because when Nisha was talking about the picture and how you know she be making you laugh, and I was like raising my hand because I'd be doing the same thing to you. So and then I just said, oh, you know. But well, we just be trying to make you laugh, you know, and you need to laugh some more. So
I'm trying to wait enough. Because let me tell you, Lovey, I'm going to tell you this. I used to be a very, very serious person. Keisha could tell you. I've come a long way to be a super saint. I used to be a super saint. And I didn't used to judge people, though, Keisha. But I used to be hard on my side, on myself. I used to wear dresses down to my knees, my ankle bang. I was so scared to do anything wrong. I used to be a super saint. And I was scared to hurt people. See, Keisha could tell you, she's laughing right now. But I never like to talk about people or judge anyone. But I'm trying to lighten up, and I'm lighting up, lovey. Believe me, I am. Because God said to me, you are no, you are so heaven bound, you are no earthly good. You ain't no earthly good. He said, daughter, I love you. I love you, want to be right. But you can't help nobody the way you are. Man, that doesn't go. So I'm trying, love me. I'm trying. I'm trying to laugh. I laugh more.
Some of the jokes that you and Keisha and Rod, I'm trying to get with it.
I know. I see you working at it. You working at it.
Let me tell you. And I'm gonna. I had on a blouse, right? That I took one of my profile pictures in, and it showed just a little bit of my cleavage. And I asked everybody if the picture was okay, Lovey, because I used to cover up in real stars and all kinds of stuff. So this time my daughter said, "Oh, Aunt Mommy, try and just break out a little bit." So I put my profile picture up. Do you know I got an inbox from a man telling me, "I see your spirit," and that hurt my heart because I'm trying to get out the box, and the super saint who is not out the box is very judgmental. If he really knew me, he would have watched me. He's just like, he just don't know my mama.
I've been studying your spirit.
That means he was studying that picture and looking at the little he was judging me wrong. And Lovey, at that time, this is how it goes along with the show. And he was judging me wrong. And at that moment, Lovey, I was going through some things. And because he came into my inbox and said that if not for the Holy Spirit, if not for God telling me, child, stop it. That would have hurt me and set me back when God was trying to bring me up.
So and we, you know, that's what we got to be careful.
We got to be careful because he judged me so long. Keisha said, oh, my God, he judged you. Mom, he don't know you. Because they call me the super saint. I want everything to be perfect. Even at the church, I go crazy because I want everything to be perfect. But God said, hey, I'm about to lighten up. So when you judge a person and they're not, and it's not their character, you can tear them down. Do you understand me, Lovey? So we've got to be careful. He didn't know me. He told me he was studying my spirit. If he was studying my spirit, he'll know that he was wrong. But he was judging me.
Yeah. And, you know, we really got to be careful with that, because what happens is when a babe in Christ comes, when God sends the new babes to us, and you know, some of us seasoned ones, you know, we know everything, and I was being sarcastic, but we know everything, and we begin to judge them, how they look, you know, how they dress, you know, and as you were saying before, if the dress too tight and you complain about it, then take them to buy another dress that fits, you know, instead of judging, you know, talking about the person behind the back, and then the people, they don't want to come anymore. Because they feel like, if I can't go to church, you know, if I can't go to God's house and be loved, you know, then where can I go other than to the world? And that's what we really have to, that's what we need to cut out. Because instead of pulling them in, you know, we're pushing them away because they don't meet our standards. Well, that's not our house. That's God's house. So it's not up to us to decide, you know, who should be there, who shouldn't be there. God, he's looking for all of his people to come to his house, and we, the ones that are there, we should be accepting them in love, you know, accepting them for who they are and allow God to do the changes. He's the one who pulls the pants up. He's the one who pulls the dresses down. He's the one who covers up the top. I mean, he does it all. He does it all, you know, and it's a way that we minister to people where God is pleased to them, where God is pleased with them. So that, you know, they're not the people, you know, the people are not feeling like they got beat up. I mean, I've felt like that before, and I was in the church and not, you know, but God had to deal with me with that. And I held on to that thing for a long time. And the Lord said, let it go. And I tell you, when I did let it go, I felt so much freedom because, you know, I had already said that God had set me free, that Jesus had set me free. But yet still I allowed, you know, certain things to just really, you know, make me feel a certain type of way. And then, you know, the Lord just, he started dealing with me, and I just let it go. And, you know, from that point on, you know, it's like, hey, if God is pleased, I'm pleased. I'm not out of order. I'm not out of, you know, out of dress. I'm not this, I'm not that. So therefore, when God is pleased, I'm pleased. And what happens is, with us, we can have it all together. I mean, you know, and that's just the way people are. We can have it all together, but there are still going to be people who look at us and find something wrong. That's just that, you know, it's always something wrong. And we have people like that, you know, who are just always negative. They can never say anything positive. If you're if they're having a bad day, they want you to have a bad day too. You know, if you're not laughing, if you're not happy that day, they don't want you to be happy either. You know, and so listen, we have to stop, get out of that mentality, you know, because if we are saying we are the body of Christ, it's not about what we feel, what we think. It's about what God says, and God is love. And so what in all that we do, we are to exemplify his love to people, not just in the church, because the church is just a building. We are the church. We're supposed to exemplify his love to all the people that, you know, that we meet, that he sent across our path. We don't know how they got across our path. All they know is God sent them to us, and we have to discern and ask him, okay, God, what am I to do? You know, how do I address this? How do I, you know, what, you know, how can I assist them? How can I help them? How can I encourage them? And sometimes people just need an encouraging word just to know that somebody really do care. And from that point on, he opens the door. You know, once he opened the door, then he allowed, then, you know, he uses us. He uses us, and he shows us, you know, how to get to the issues that they may be having, because everybody just won't open up to you all at one time. I know I didn't. You know, I didn't just, you know, open up to people and just pour out my life to them all at one time. My life experiences, it took a while for me to do that. And so we can't, we have to remember that, you know, everybody that come our way, they're not even the meat of the world because they haven't gotten there yet. And as you were saying before, you know, some of them are still drinking baby milk, and that's okay. That's understandable as long as they're learning. You know, we want people to just jump from Genesis to Revelation, you know what I mean? and what are we making? We're making a religious army is what we're making, because we forgot about the love in between. And so we need to be careful of, you know, trying to push people to what we want them to be, judging them, because that's what we do. Well, I don't want you to be like this. I want you to be like me. Well, no, you know, because it's not about me, and it's not about that person. It's about, you know, it's about God. And so when we remind ourselves that it is about God, it is about his love, and we think about what God has brought us through, you know, God didn't judge us when we were in the world, but he still loved us. He loved us through it all. He still watched over us when we were jacked up, you know what I mean? And so now we're here today by grace. We're here today by mercy, and that same grace and that same mercy still applies to those. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us, the Bible says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He didn't just say one person sinned. Two, he said for all have sinned. That's what he said, and fall short of the glory of God. That's what he said, and that's his word. We can't take nothing from it. We can't add anything to it. It said, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin in the Lord will never count against him. Why is it that we can count people's sins against them when God forgives them? It's time for the church to repent so that we can go back to winning souls for Christ. That's all I have to say.
It's all about winning souls. It's all about the souls. It's all about being an example, that light and that salt to the earth. It's about us loving on each other and supporting each other and building each other and not saying, oh, this about each other and that about each other. You know, it's so sad that sometimes Satan don't have to do nothing because we already carrying up things ourselves, and that's sad. Mm-hmm. All he has to do is sit back and we blame him for everything, and he's like, I ain't do that. You're not doing that. Y'all tearing up your own house. So we just be careful. And be meek, humble, and come correct. It's right to come, but come correct. Amen? I don't know if there's anybody on the line that wants to say anything to you, Lovely Me, or Pastor Keisha. If they want to address anything, please press 1 at this moment. No one? All right. Well, Lovely, I don't know if you want to say anything else, but my thing is that clean your own backyard up. Get all the junk out of your truck. Be more sympathetic and loving to one another. Encourage and build. And if there's an issue with your brother, do it biblically. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Let your motivation be always about love. Building each other down. We have enough tearing down. We deal with the world, and we have to deal with the devil. We don't want to fight each other. Come on now. We already got opposition. We already got the enemy after us. I know people say he's defeated, but we allow him to reign sometimes with our foolishness. We got to just check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. See the motives of our hearts. It's all a matter of the heart.
Right.
And it's okay to come. I'm going to say again, it's all okay to come, but come correct.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Keisha, you want to say anything else? Pastor Keisha, you don't want to say anything? Lovey, you're going to have your show on Wednesday. You have prayer when? Tuesday?
We have prayer. Prayer on Tuesdays at 12 noon, and His Heart Speaks is every Wednesday at 6:30 your time.
Okay. And then we have our show on Thursday at 7 your time, Lovey, and 8 our time. God is good. We're going to soon announce where our church is located. I am excited. God is doing so much marvelous things. If we just have faith and do the things that God wants us to do and treat each other right, and He's so gracious, even when we act a fool, He's so kind. You know what I'm saying? So we got to show that same kindness to others. Anybody needs prayer, you can inbox us or those that got our number, call us or text us. We'll be happy to pray for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is that it, Lovey?
That's it. That's it, Lovey.
All right.
Anybody?
Get some rest and let's go ahead.
Yes. If there's anyone on the line who give their life back to Christ or come to Christ, just let us know. We do want to welcome you into the Kingdom family. We're here to love you and encourage you and teach you and help mentor you to help get you to that place where God wants you to be. And so just be mindful of that. And we share out of love. And that's why we call it Let's Talk, We'll Talk. Because we don't want you to be fed the religiosity of it. We want you to hear the Christ love, the real talk of it. And just know that it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't even matter what you're doing. If you want to accept Christ into your life, or you want to just get that, or you fell off track, then we're here to help you get back on track. So we just want to put that out there to you to just be encouraged and let you know that we love you.
Amen. Very much. Nothing but we loving you agape style. Our love is unconditional. We're not going to judge you. Listen, we remember where we came from. I know I remember where I came from. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for bringing me out and up.
Amen.
Amen. So if there's none, I want to say thank you for sharing, Lovey. Thank you, Pastor Keisha. I appreciate you guys. Oh, my goodness. You make the team. You make the team. We appreciate it. None of us are bigger than. We are together doing the same thing, trying to get somebody to notice and recognize that Jesus loved them and He's the only way. And to have the Christians to open up their eyes and start living and doing the things biblically so that there will be no discord among us, that we're just to love on each other and appreciate each other and pray if we are overtaken in a fault and if we are to bring correction, let it be love motivated. Amen.
Amen.
Love
Amen.
You guys. Peace. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.